In previous days, Saroji explained Chaturaraka Bhavana for guardian meditation, which were a custom of meditators practicing Satipatthana meditation, so that during the practice, yogis can practice smoothly without danger or hindrances. When yogis come here, they listen to the instruction how one should practice Satipatthana meditation. And among the yogis, there are those who have practiced before, and they have to listen to the instructions so that they will be clear how Satipatthana should be practiced. Some of the yogis who have practiced before, but if they have been practicing in an easygoing way, flippantly, then their experience will be the same over and over again, and it will not be any progress. For yogis who have not practiced before, they have to listen to the instruction so that they know how to practice. In the Satipatthana practice, yogis have to be mindful of every arising object. And when they come for interview, they need to explain what they have been experiencing in their practice. And some of the yogis may have some difficulty not knowing how they should practice, and they might also have difficulty in reporting their experience to the meditation teacher. So today, Saroji will explain briefly how Satipatthana should be practiced, and how yogis should report in their interview explaining their experience to the teacher. As the yogis come here, they have become yogi and they should be working continuously like a yogi. They should be practicing continuously like a yogi. In the word yogi, yoga means effort. Initial effort, stepped up effort in order to overcome laziness. Effort stage by stage till one reaches one's goal. Yogi should be endowed with these three stages of effort. In the beginning of the practice, one should assert initial effort. The whole body is the field of objects to be noted, and one should note every object with effort. One should not be cold or sluggish, but one should be ardent. One should assert ardent effort, always alert, active, ready to note the object. One should not be noting in an easygoing manner. Buddha used the word atapi. Atapi is the person who has ardent effort. One will not have ardent effort before one practices, but one will develop ardent effort by practicing diligently. One should possess the ardent effort, and the person will be called atapi. So one should assert effort in noting the object. In oneself, there are nama rupa, mentality, and materiality arising. They are called aramana. Aramana means objects. They are fields of objects to be noted. The example is given here of field of rice, field, paddy field, or the field of wheat plants. The field of paddy or the field of wheat plants are divided into smaller plots. In the same way, the whole body is the field of objects to be noted. In the field of objects to be noted, there are various objects that are arising at present moment. These objects are arising whenever there are favorable circumstances. So due to their circumstances and conditions, various objects are arising at the present moment, such as seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, knowing. So they are arising at their moment. In the seeing also, the nama rupa are arising. And hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, in all these moments, they are nama and rupa arising. One should be mindful of these nama rupa that are arising at the present moment with aim and effort, aiming, directing the mind onto the object, asserting effort so that the noting mind reaches the object. Whatever object that arises at the sixth sense door are to be noted. Saraji gives an example. When a child starts to go to school, the child has to learn lessons that are few and easy. In the same way, yogi, who is a beginner, should note the objects that are few and easy. And even if the yogi has been practicing for some time, but if they are not skillful yet, they have to start from noting objects that are few and easy. In sitting meditation, one should focus one's attention on the abdomen, noting rising and falling. Rising and falling of the abdomen is easy, and just two objects, rising, falling, which is very easy to be noted. And in walking meditation, one should focus one's mind on the foot, noting right step, left step. So in the example, when the child is learning lessons that are few and simple, the child is happy to learn new lessons which are few and simple. So in the beginning of the practice, yogi has to start noting the objects that are few and easy. So in sitting, when one breathes in, there is rising of the abdomen, and one should note it as rising. When breathing out, the abdomen falls, and one should note it as falling. Whenever there is breathing in and breathing out, there will be rising and falling of the abdomen. And yogi has to note rising and falling. Yogi should note the object at the moment the object arises. When it is mean that the object arises, it means that the object is obvious at the present moment. When the person breathes in, rising of the abdomen arises. So rising is obvious. And also the same goes with other objects, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. So yogi has to note the object that is arising at the present moment, the object that exists at the present moment, the object that is obvious at the present moment. Yogi should note the object as soon as the object arises. There are objects that had arisen in the past. There are objects that are to arise in the future. There are objects that are arising at the present moment. The objects that has arisen in the past, they are not certain anymore as they already had passed away. The objects that will arise in the future, they are not certain as they are not present at the moment. What the yogi should note is the object that is arising at the present moment. Because the object that is arising at the present moment, it is certain. So one should note the object that is arising at the present moment. If the person is thinking about the past, the person misses to note the presently arising object. And if the person is thinking about the future, the person misses or fails to note the present object. So if there is thinking, then the person will not be able to note the present object. In Satipatthana practice, one should not be thinking. One should note the object as soon as the object arises. And Saraji says, usually Westerners, when they see something or when something come across, they are thinking what it is, why is it? So if the person is thinking what it is, how is it, rather than noting the object right away, they will not be making progress. So it is very important to note the object as soon as the object arises without thinking. The imagination and what one really comes to know are different. For example, apple is cooling and sweet. Rather than putting the apple on the table and thinking that it is cool and sweet, it will just be imaginary because one has not eaten it. So by eating and chewing the apple, one comes to really experience the sweet, cooling flavor. So rather than eating, just looking and thinking that it is sweet and cool, it is imaginary. Eating and chewing and really experiencing the cool, sweet flavor, it is practical. In the same way, when an object arises, yogi should note it right away as soon as the object arises. If the person is thinking rather than noting the object, there will be thoughts, imagination, and if they report to the teacher about their thoughts and imagination, it will be a waste of time. When sitting, the rising and falling of the abdomen are obvious, one should note so that the mindfulness will be sustained on the object rising and falling. In order to note the object, one should exert ardent effort in noting so that mindfulness will develop, the mind will be calm and collected. One should not be looking for objects that are not obvious It is not necessary to note the objects that are not obvious. One should note the object that is obvious at the present moment. And at times, there are 2-3 objects arising that are obvious at the same time, and the yogi may be at a loss which one to note. So if there are many objects that are obvious arising at the same time, the person can choose to note any one among many. So if there are various objects that are obvious arising at the same time, yogi should pinpoint one object. Just like seeing a photo, a group photo, looking at a group photo, if the person wants to see a certain person, the person has to pinpoint the person he, she wants to look at in the same way. When there are many objects arising at the same time that are obvious, one has to pinpoint an object to make it clear and note on that object. When the object arises, one should exert effort. There should be diligent effort. One should be ardent, alert, active in noting the object. One should follow very closely to the object. In order that the noting mind should be close to the object, one should pull the noting mind onto the object, or one should push the noting mind onto the object. It is very important. Noting the object with effort, one gains immediate benefit. Asserting effort in the practice, there will not be laziness. By asserting effort, one gains victory on laziness. Buddha used the word attandito, meaning that yogi should not be lazy. Tandi means laziness. Laziness, not asserting effort in the practice, not wanting to make the effort in the practice. When there is tandi, laziness, the person does not want to work for one's own benefit. Especially in the practice, when a person is lazy, the person does not want to note the object. And such kind of lazy person will not have any benefit. A lazy person will not practice effectively, and he will not get benefit. So in the practice, Satipatthana practice, that is high class wholesomeness, one should not be lazy in practicing. Buddha used the word attandito, meaning one should not be lazy, one should be alert, active, diligent, ardent in the practice. By asserting effort in the practice, laziness as well as other unwholesomeness will be removed. In place of laziness, effort arises. In this way, one should replace laziness by effort. Having effort, the path of defilements will be blocked. The path of unwholesomeness will be blocked. Having effort, the path of wholesomeness will open up, and sati, mindfulness, develops. The effort should be just right. If the person is over-eager, then the viriya effort can become excessive, and the noting mind overshoots the target. On the other hand, if the effort is slack, then the noting mind falls short of the target. So it is important that the effort should be just right. In order that the effort should be just right, one should have aim. One should aim and direct the mind onto the object. In noting the object, one should aim and direct the mind onto the object and exert effort so that the effort will not be excessive, it will not be slack. Aiming, directing the noting mind onto the object is called vitakka. Having vitakka, the mind will always be active. Without vitakka, the mind will be constricted and contracted. It will not be fresh, it will not be open or blossom. Having vitakka, aiming, directing the mind onto the object, the mind will be fresh, open, and blossom. Vitakka is directly opposite of laziness. In this way, one has to dispel laziness by applying vitakka, which is directly opposite of laziness. Effort is also overwhelming force in order to dispel laziness. In this way, laziness should be dispelled by applying two factors, vitakka, which is directly opposite of laziness, and effort, which is overwhelming force of laziness. By noting with aim and effort, laziness has no chance to arise. That's why it is important to note the object by aiming, directing the noting mind and the effort so that the noting mind reaches the object. In the text, it is said that one should apply one's noting mind onto the object so that the noting mind will be direct or face to face with the object. One should aim and direct the mind onto the object. Aiming, directing is vitakka, and it is also one of the jhanic factors. Having vitakka, the mind will be fresh and active, and one can gain victory on tinamita, sloth and torpor. If the mind is not aimed onto the object, if the mind is not directed on the object, the mind goes on to wrongful thoughts. There can be sensual thoughts, wanting to see good things, wanting to hear good sounds, and so on. That is kama vitakka, sensual thoughts. Or there can also be thinking, there can be dissatisfaction, wanting to destroy others, vyabhata vitakka, ill will thoughts. And there can also be thoughts wanting to torment others, vihimsa vitakka, cruelty thoughts. So if the mind is not aimed onto the object, if the mind is not directed onto the object, three kinds of wrongful thoughts can arise. The people of this sensual realm usually have these three wrongful thoughts if their mind is not directed or aimed onto the object. And usually they have sensual thoughts. Having vitakka, aiming, directing, such kind of unwholesome thoughts, will have no chance to arise. The mind will be fresh, open, and blossom, and the mind will be away from mitya vitaka, wrongful thoughts. So one gains the benefit immediately. And swakata, meaning that if the Dhamma is practiced, one gains benefit in accordance. By practicing the Dhamma, the benefit comes not only later, but there are also immediate benefits. By noting every arising object, such as rising and falling of the abdomen, with aiming, directing, and with ardent effort, one overcomes laziness. The mind will not be constricted or contracted. The mind will be open, blossom, and fresh. If the person does not exert effort, one will not get these benefits. By noting the object with aim and effort, one overcomes laziness, the mind is wholesome, away from the defilements, and one gets immediate benefit. By noting continuously for 1 minute, there will be 60 moments of mindfulness. In 5 minutes, 300 moments. In 1 hour, 3,600 moments. While the mind is wholesome. Noting the object with effort, mindfulness will be sustained onto the object. Satipatthana, meaning the mind is closely established, firmly established on the object. When sati develops, sati mindfulness protects the mind away from the defilements. The defilements have no chance to arise. In this way, the mind is guarded, protected with mindfulness. When the mind is guarded, protected with mindfulness, the mind will be safe and secure away from the defilements, and thus the mind will be free from the defilements. Rakkhavaranaguti, meaning the mind has the protection, guardianship of mindfulness, that the mind is safe and secure. The mind will not be agitated with raga, lust, or dosa, anger, or moha, delusion. There will be samadhi, concentration. There will be kanika samadhi, momentary concentration, the mind falling calm and collected on the object. By noting the presently arising object with aim and effort, sati, mindfulness, develops, and samadhi, concentration, develops. Noting the object with a strengthened mind, there are these mental strength developing, and the defilements have no chance to arise. Having effort does not let laziness to arise. Noting the object with aim and effort, having vitaka, the mitya vitaka, wrongful thoughts, will have no chance to arise. And having viriya and vitaka, tinamita, sloth and torpor, cannot arise. The mind will not be constricted. Having sati, mindfulness, protecting the mind from defilements. When samadhi, concentration, is present, the noting mind falls calm and collected on the object. The mind will not be agitated with raga or dosa, and the mind falls calm and collected on the object, and one gets immediate benefits. As a true yogi, yogis should be mindful every single second. There should be sadhuka savana. Yogis should listen attentively to the guidance and instruction. Sadhuka manasikara. Yogis should practice in accordance with the teachings so that as soon as the object arises, yogi notes it right away with aim and effort. When these two factors, sadhuka savana and sadhuka manasikara, are met, then there will be samana dhamma vodhi. One will be developing the dhamma, extinguishing the defilements, and the life, one's life will be accomplished with the dhamma, extinguishing the defilements. It is the yogi's duty to be mindful. There is one and only duty of the yogi. One and only duty of the yogi is to be mindful continuously every single second, apart from sleeping hours. So whatever posture they are in, standing, walking, sitting, or lying, whatever posture they're in, they should be noting every arising object without missing, without failing. If the person misses or fails to note the object, the defilements enter, and the yogi will not have the samana dhamma vodhi. Yogi will not have the benefit of having accomplished life with the dhamma that extinguishes the defilements if he, she is failing to be mindful. So yogi should listen attentively, respectfully, and in the practice as well, yogi should note respectfully by noting the object with aim and effort. Without these two factors, there will not be benefits. So it is the duty of the teacher to give guidance how one should practice, and it is the duty of the yogi to note the object with aim and effort continuously. If the teacher is dutiful, but if the yogi is not dutiful, then yogi will not make benefit. On the other hand, if the yogi is practicing diligently, but if the teacher is not dutiful in giving guidance, then it will not be beneficial. So it is the duty of the teacher to give guidance and instruction how the yogi should be noting the object according to the teachings of the Buddha in the tradition of the late Venerable Mahasi Saraji. And it is the duty of the yogi to follow the guidance and instruction accurately and precisely. Whatever posture that the yogi is in, walking, standing, sitting, lying, bending, stretching, lifting, moving, placing, opening and closing of the eyes, blinking, whatever posture they're in, they should be mindful of everything. They should be mindful of the object with aim and effort continuously. And when they come to the interview to report, they should be able to report whether they can really follow the object closely. If they're able to note the object closely, and they should not be reporting from their imagination. By practicing effectively, yogi will be able to describe their experiences accurately. But if the yogi fails to be practicing, then what they will be reporting will be from their imagination, and it will be a waste of time. So yogis should practice diligently. 1 month is quite sufficient to develop knowledge if the yogis practice diligently. So while you have 1 month time, yogis should practice diligently, noting every arising object with aim and effort. There should not be resting, or there should not be taken easy. Yogis should be continuously noting the object apart from their sleeping hour. Apart from the sleeping hour, throughout the whole day, yogis should be mindful continuously, and they should not be looking here and there. And when Saraji takes a walk, when the yogi sees Saraji taking a walk, there is no need to bow, no need to pay respect. They should mind their own practice. And Saraji encourages the yogis to mind your own practice, and may you be able to practice continuously. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.